Good morning. It's Thursday, July 16th. I'm Fletcher Powell, and this is Wichita's Early Edition from KMUW News. In Ballet Wichita's production of Alice in Wonderland, audiences escape with dancers down the rabbit hole, and part of that magic is projected on stage.
A lot of our students, including myself, we're all big fans of like old animations and stuff like that and artwork, and immediately we all wanted to jump on to that. We all had ideas kind of already springing to life.
We'll take a look at how the ballet employed artists from Shocker Studios. That's after the news. Kansas does not have enough special education teachers. As KMUW's Daniel Cottle reports, the state continues to see a shortage of professionals who teach students with the most intensive needs.
Across the state of Kansas, there are nearly 1,600 vacant teaching positions, and the largest portion of those vacancies, nearly a quarter, is in special education. Shane Carter is the director of teacher licensure in Kansas. He says the state made small gains compared to last year, but
special education, more often than not, has been our super area of need across the state of Kansas, and it's been historic for years.
Carter says the state is increasing the number of teacher apprenticeships, including in special education. Teacher shortages across all categories remain the worst in western Kansas. For KMUW News, I'm Daniel Cottle.
The Kansas State Board of Education voted to implement a process to comply with the state's new cell phone ban in K-12 schools. The law requires the state board to certify that each school district and accredited private schools have adopted policies to abide by the phone ban. The policies must bar students from using their phones during the school day and require students to keep them in an inaccessible location. The board approved a certification form that it will send to each superintendent and private school administrator ahead of the fall semester. The Wichita School Board is set to vote on a local cell phone policy at its meeting on Monday. The Kansas Farm Bureau has backed all of President Donald Trump's selections for Congress, but not for governor in Kansas. The Farm Bureau's Political Action Committee endorsed Republican State Insurance Commissioner Vicki Schmidt for governor, despite Trump's endorsement of Republican State Senate President Ty Masterson. Schmidt chose former Farm Bureau President Joe Newland to run as her lieutenant governor. Brendan Wirth is director of political affairs for the Kansas Farm Bureau. He says endorsements are chosen with input from Farm Bureau members across the state.
I think it's great to see that our organization can, whatever the politics of the day is, focus on our priorities and what Kansas agriculture needs.
The committee also did not endorse Trump's pick for governor in 2018. The crowded Republican primary for governor this year has seven candidates, including Secretary of State Scott Schwab and businessman Philip Sarnicki. Sedgwick County residents who request an advance mail-in ballot for the August primary began receiving them yesterday. Completed ballots can be returned by mail to the Sedgwick County Election Office or dropped off in person. They can also be returned at community drop boxes or open polling places. Ballots must be received by the election office by 7 p.m. on August 4th, Election Day, to be counted. Voters interested in an advanced ballot can apply for one until July 28th. Early in-person voting begins Monday. More information is at sedgwickcounty.org/elections. The city of Wichita's proposed budget features pay raises for city employees and more funding for the city's homeless shelter. The budget also includes more police and firefighters, a new fire station, and some additional funding for Wichita libraries, though not as much as library officials had requested. This is the first proposed budget from City Manager Dennis Marstall, who started the job earlier this year. The 2027 proposal totals more than $800 million, which is a 3% increase over this year's budget. Public hearings are scheduled for August 4th, 18th, and 25th. State health officials say a severe stomach illness that's spreading across the country is affecting the Wichita area. The Kansas Department of Health and Environment reports nearly a dozen cases of cyclosporiasis have been confirmed in Kansas, with at least five cases so far in Sedgwick County. The gastrointestinal infection is spread by a parasite and causes severe diarrhea. Federal health experts announced Tuesday that lettuce and other salad greens are a potential source of the outbreak. They urge people to wash fruits and vegetables thoroughly and to avoid bagged lettuce or salad mixes. Scientists have found concerning levels of pesticides in rivers throughout the United States, especially in agricultural states, including Kansas. For instance, in the Little Arkansas River near Sedgwick, they found high pesticide levels 99 times. Harvest Public Media's Celia Yopis-Jepson reports the data come from a new decade-long study.
The U.S. Geological Survey sampled streams across the country for 80 pesticides and for a decade. Meg Shoda is a USGS hydrologist. She says the middle of the country proved to be a particular concern.
The Mississippi River Basin has a high percentage of sites with increasing trends in pesticides, especially compared to other regions of the U.S.
Two pesticides that kept turning up in rivers were the weed killer atrazine, used on crops like corn, and the insecticide imidacloprid, which is often added to seeds to protect crops as they grow. I'm Celia Yopis-Jepson, Harvest Public Media.
The city of Garden Plain will open its new aquatic facility on Sunday. The $3.3 million facility features a new zero-entry pool, a diving board, a 20-foot slide, and new changing rooms and a concession area. It's at the north end of Garden Plain City Park. The grand opening is from 1 to 9 p.m. Sunday and is open to the public. Visitors are required to get a wristband from Garden Plain City Hall prior to the opening. And now, KMUW's Lou Ann Stevens brings us a look at upcoming events this week in the Wichita area.
The Newton Community Theater presents Footloose the Musical tomorrow through Sunday at Newton High School. Wham Nights has music in the Great Hall with Swing Central, live jazz and swing music in a casual setting. That's tomorrow night from 6 to 8 at the Wichita Art Museum in Riverside. Roxy's Downtown has Disenchanted, a musical comedy that follows Snow White and her princess posse as they try to share the truth about their lives beyond the storybooks. Shows run tomorrow through August 15th. Air Capital Bacon, Bourbon, and Brews is Saturday, starting at 4 p.m. with live music and a chance to vote on the best beer and the best bacon dish. It's at Heartland Credit Union Arena. Automobilia is 4 to midnight on Saturday at Century 2, a day of unique vehicles and car enthusiasm. The monthly outdoor market, Shop and Grub, is 5 to 10 p.m. this Saturday at Nafsker Park. The NBC World Series gets underway next Thursday with college and amateur players from across the country. Most games are at WSU's X Stadium, and the championship will be at Equity Bank Park. And Jason Aldean's Songs About Us tour is 7 p.m. next Thursday, July 23rd at Intrust Bank Arena. There's more information on the events page at kmuw.org.
We'll be back after this.
Tomorrow on the range, we run the bases with Cowtown's Vintage Baseball Club. Plus, a well-known Wichita mortuary marks 100 years in business. So join us on the range, where we share stories about where we live and the people who live here.
I'm Fletcher Powell, and this is Wichita's Early Edition. Ballet Wichita is taking Alice in Wonderland to stages across Kansas this summer, and KMUW is taking you behind the scenes. In this week's story, Meg Britton Mellish talks to the projection artists who are helping audiences experience Wonderland.
In Ballet Wichita's latest production, dancers use their movements and acting to animate Lewis Carroll's topsy-turvy Wonderland. But part of the magic of the ballet comes from another kind of dance happening before the audience's eyes.
I will say there's been a lot of very long evenings, days, afternoons of me watching phone recordings of her dances and the dancers. Having that in one window, having the files that I'm working on in this window, and with my earbuds in, just going back and forth between the same scenes, making sure it transitions correctly.
That's CJ Marsh. He's an artist and adjunct professor with Wichita State University's Shocker Studios. Marsh led the team of young illustrators and artists who helped create the visual world of Wonderland.
And there was talks of Alice in Wonderland, and a lot of our students, including myself, were all big fans of like old animations and stuff like that and artwork, and immediately we all wanted to jump on to that. We all had ideas kind of already springing to life.
Ballet Wichita has a long-standing relationship with Shocker Studios, the creative space that hosts WSU's School of Digital Arts. Company director Katie Andersack says that students with Shocker Studios often work with the company to design backdrops and other elements for the ballet's spring production.
When we were trying to figure out how we were going to tour to very different size stages, we thought about Shocker Studios and the possibility of, for the first time ever, doing a projection-type backdrop instead of like a painted backdrop.
Andersack approached Marsh with the idea in May. Marsh pitched the idea to his animation students, and three illustrators volunteered: Annika Eicher, Oliver Thompson, and Cleet Keller. Eicher says she knew instantly the scene she wanted to design.
I was really excited. I wanted to do the Wonderland portion. I was really excited about doing the Cheshire Cat, because I like doing more like kind of whimsical stuff, so I was super stoked to work on that.
Thompson led the design of the Real World and Alice's Tumble Down the Rabbit Hole. Eicher created a bright and colorful Wonderland that enchants Alice, and Keller crafted the Queen of Hearts' imposing castle and expansive gardens. It was a time-intensive process that required sketching, digitally painting, refining in Photoshop, and then animating in Adobe After Effects. Marsh wove the scenes together and made sure the movements that Andersack choreographed were matched precisely in scene changes and transitions.
Typically, when we work on a production, we work with a LED screen, and it has a certain set of dimensions, and then you make sure everything's set to those dimensions, and then you play it, and then it goes.
But for the summer road tour, Marsh and the students had to create adaptable designs that would work as the ballet moved from the Ottawa Memorial Auditorium to Friends University and the Granada Theater in Emporia. Keller says it's a collaborative process that created something even better than the sum of its parts.
It was super cool to see just the transitions from each of our distinct styles. Like Molly said, it's really cool to see finished products and how different and vast they can be.
Andersack says that the working relationship between Shocker Studios and Ballet Wichita is indicative of the best of what Wichita art can be. And for young artists like Thompson, the experience may have opened its own rabbit hole of opportunity.
I love going to like live concerts and stuff, and a lot of times artists will have projections up behind them. And before doing this, it never like clicked that someone does that work, and that someone like could be me. So it's pretty cool.
Ballet Wichita's final performance of Alice in Wonderland will be Saturday at the McPherson Opera House. For KMUW News, I'm Meg Britton Mellish.
Thanks for listening to Wichita's Early Edition. We'll be back again tomorrow. For KMUW News, I'm Fletcher Powell.
Wichita's Early Edition is part of the NPR Podcast Network.
You may have watched spelling bees before, but you've never seen one like this. KMUW's You're Spelling It Wrong, a spelling bee for grown-ups, has pizza, adult beverages, sassy judges, and fun for everyone. It's Friday, August 28th at the Mint Event Venue. Sign up to compete or just watch the show. You can find tickets and info at kmuw.org.
Each story you hear on Planet Money starts with a question. What happens if we refund tariffs? Why are groceries so expensive? At NPR, we stand for your right to be curious, because the forces shaping our world can be hard to see. Follow NPR's Planet Money wherever you get your podcasts and start seeing how the economy really works.